Hi, you guys. Welcome back to another episode of Shit Show Sisterhood, the podcast where we dig into just the epic fucking shit show that life is sometimes, how we survive it, and what we do in the aftermath. I'm your host, Jen Levins. I am a quantum alignment coach and a Reiki master, and I am currently writing my first book, Surviving the Shit Show. A badass guide to thriving when your world is fucked up. Let's go ahead and dive right into today's episode. I've got my notes. I'm trying something new today. We are going to try to record this episode as a video because I have to tell you guys, oh, this episode has been so fucking hard to record. I have been working on this episode all week. I actually sat down to record it yesterday and I had a whole like plan of what I was doing. And then at the very last minute, I completely scrapped that episode. It did not feel right. It didn't feel like the story that you guys needed to hear. And I am trying really hard to be very, very transparent with you guys and just show up and say what needs to be said and not give a fuck about anything else. So it didn't feel in alignment for me to tell the story I was going to tell. I may tell it in a later episode, but the story you guys needed to hear is the story that I'm going to share today. Because I've actually, to be honest, tried to record this multiple times already today, and my voice recordings just don't feel right. So I'm gonna try to do a video recording and just talk to you guys and tell you what happened. And we're gonna see what happens and what comes of it. And it's gonna be what it's gonna be. So, if you are watching the video part of this on YouTube, thank you so much for being here. If you are listening to the audio version of this recording on Spotify or on Apple Podcast or on Amazon Music, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you so very, very, very much. Let's just dive right into this week's episode. Like I said, I want to be fully transparent with you guys. I want to be able just to tell you what happened, show you the lessons that I learned from any given situation, and help you grow and heal along with me. To do that, I'm going to have to talk about the hard stuff. And the story I need to tell this week is really hard for me. And it is truly the moment in my life when I stopped giving a fuck about what anyone else thinks of me, what their perception of me is. And it is truly what gave me the freedom and the courage to show up here today. Before we go too far deep into that, though, I do want to put out a little disclaimer. If you are triggered by talking about hard family dynamics, about, being ghosted by a family member, then go ahead and don't listen to this episode. We're going to be diving deep into those things. And so, if that is something that may be triggering for you, feel free to skip this episode. My only ask is that you maybe share this episode with someone who you feel like could benefit from it. That way, we are able to help as many people as possible. Also, as previously discussed in last week's episode, as I am telling these stories, I may do say things like fake names or not tell a name. And the reason I am doing that is really to protect the people in the situation who deserve to be protected and to kind of protect the integrity of some of those relationships. So today I'm not going to be sharing names. I'm sure if you really wanted to, you could do the Facebook ass stalkery thing, which, by the way, creepy. But I'm sure you could go and figure out who these people are and what happened and all the things. But honestly, that is not what this is about. Today is not about trashing another person. Today is about me telling my story from my own perspective, from my own lens, and telling you guys just the lessons that I learned from it. Goal and my intent here is to help someone who may be in the same situation or who may have experienced a similar thing so that they know that they're not alone. That is my only intent here. And so my ask is that you just take this story, learn it from my perspective. Where do I begin? I guess the best place for me to begin was back in October. So October 2024, last year, I had what is called a, I'm hoping I'm saying this right, trans ischemic attack, a TIA. And what that is it is basically a miniature stroke. It was to this day still one of the scariest things that I've ever experienced as far as like health goes. I was at work one night. I was talking with a customer. I felt very, very tired. And then next thing I knew, I did not really have control over what my body was doing or how I was reacting to things. I ended up going to the ER, and what they found was that the artery that travels up the back of my neck had a 70% blockage in it. It was really, really scary because I was told at that time that the likelihood that I could have a catastrophic stroke within the next year was about 80%. I did, of course, start treatment right away and, all the things. I see my doctor regularly. I've lost some weight. I'm on a ton of medications, all the things, right? It was a really scary time for me and my family. And so we had to have a lot of really serious conversations about, what would happen if I did have a catastrophic stroke. We also had to talk about things like how could we best put some preventative measures in place. Some of those being things like reducing the amount of stress I was under. I was at that time in my life under a massive amount of stress. I am a mom first and foremost. I'm a wife. I'm a business owner. I also work outside of my business, run a farm. I mean, I wear many, many hats. And so I had really worked myself into a state where my body was just done. My body was like, nope, time for you to take some time off. My brain literally broke. Okay. It broke under the massive amount of stress that I had been under. One of the things that happened in the aftermath of that is we decided to ask my sister to come and move in with us and help out around the house, help out with raising our child, things like that. Because right after the TIA, I was useless. Honestly, I couldn't do a whole lot. I would get exhausted just, walking across the living room floor. Now, there's a lot of layers here. There's a lot of people involved in this and pieces to the story that are not mine to tell. So, I can't give all of the details, but what I can say is that my sister's relationship historically has not been the best. to add another layer to that, for the last 11 years, I have been raising her child as my own. And so when all of this happened, that kind of added a level of heartbreak to this that made the entire thing just devastating. Absolutely devastating for our family. But in the 2 years prior to any of this happening, my sister and my relationship has been so much better. She has taken a more active role in the raising of this child. We have spent a lot of time, flying back and forth to visit each other and spending time together. And honestly, it's been the best our relationship has ever been. So when I had the TIA, we invited her to come and live with us and really become a more active member of our family. We all agreed on that. And she arrived the week before Christmas. We were so excited to have her here. This was the first Thanksgiving that I had spent with her since I was like 14 years old. We were sisters, we grew up in the same house, but she's 4 years older than me, and so she moved out around the age of when I was 14. And she lived her life, and I lived my life, and we didn't really spend a lot of time together. Like I said, there are some mitigating factors that I can't completely, tell because it's not my story to tell. Our family really disintegrated after that point, and we just never got to spend a lot of time together after that. We made it through the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and things were going pretty damn well. Or at least I thought they were. We had a couple arguments, but none of it to me seemed like things that would ruin the relationship. It was just sisters fight. We're two very different people. And so we didn't always agree on things. One thing I can say though is I felt like for the first time in my entire freaking life that I had a sister. I had spent my whole life feeling like I didn't have a real sister. Growing up, we weren't that close. We fought all the time. And then as adults, she lived her life and I lived my life, and we just never really connected. I used to be so jealous of my friends who'd be like, "Oh, me and my sister are going Christmas shopping together," or, "Me and my sister are going out to the bar together." I never got those opportunities. I never got the opportunity to just call my sister up when I was having a bad day and talk to her about it. Those are all things that I really missed out on. But I finally felt like I had the opportunity to get to have some of those moments, and that was really exciting. I will say, in the aftermath of my TA, I dealt with an epic fuck ton of anxiety and depression in waves that I have never experienced before. I've always had anxiety my whole life, but this kicked it up to a whole new level. And in that, I will say that I wasn't always my best either. I wasn't always the kindest person to her. And you know what? I can own that. I can be okay with that. I can own that those were my mistakes in this. But as the new year rolled around, I honestly thought that we were in a good place. I thought that, sisters fight and we would always get through it. And I never, ever imagined what was going to actually happen. Then February 7th hit. I was pulling out of work that night and I got a text message. It was from my sister. And she was basically informing me that she was not at work like she said she was, that she had quote unquote, removed herself from my home. She told me that she'd been struggling with her mental health and struggling with addiction. She actually had a quite extensive history with addiction. She stated that she left a note for me and a note for our child, but that she could not do this anymore, that she didn't know where she was going or what she would be doing, but that she would be okay and for us not to worry. I later found out that everything that she said in that text and everything that she said in the notes that she left were very counterdictive of each other, and that a lot of it was not true. We actually found out that she left because she had reconnected with a guy from her past and that she had left to go move in with him and his children. To say that my heart broke in that moment is such an understatement. My heart shattered into a million pieces. I started shaking. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't speak. I called my best friend and I couldn't even get the words out. I just kept crying and I was hyperventilating. I was going, I could not get a handle on myself. Finally, I centered myself and told her what was going on. I ended up going over to her house that night, and my husband came over and met us. And I just kept crying and crying and crying. And I just kept saying, I can't believe she did this to us. I can't believe this. How are we going to tell, the child that was involved? It was a mess. It was truly a mess. I was broken in a way that I've never been broken before. The following, week or so was one of the most gut-wrenching experiences of my life. Of course, we had to tell this child, which that whole experience was just awful. Just informing all the people that need to know, I ended up having to go and inform her job that she was gone, return her uniforms. She left almost everything of hers here. So, dealing with all of that, like the whole experience was just really, really fucking hard. Now that a few months have passed, we're still dealing with a lot of the very real, raw emotions of all of this. And there have been a lot of tears and a lot of angry moments. But there's also been a lot of soul searching and a lot of moments of understanding as we're beginning to heal from this. And that is really where kind of the meat and potatoes of today's episode comes from. I am a person who can't do anything small. I hyperfixate on things, and I have to research everything. That is just who I am. I am a perpetual student. I will always be that way. And so this was no different. I really took a deep dive into why people do things like this and tried to learn, what would make someone ghost another person, basically. In that research, I found a lot of understanding and a lot of healing. So I want to share that with you guys today. One of the very first things that I found was from this sociologist by the name of Carl, I'm hoping I'm saying this right, Carl Pilmer. And he conducted a study on people who have been ghosted specifically by their family members. And he discovered that 27% of Americans have been ghosted by a family member. For me, that was really impactful because I've never known anyone that this has happened to. And so I was feeling very, very alone in this. We'll get into this a little bit more as we go, but I really internalized this experience. I questioned myself a lot. I questioned, what did I do wrong? I really internalized it. And learning that fact made me realize that I am not alone in this. If you are experiencing something like this, I hope that you can hang on to that as well, that you're not alone in this. It happens to at least 27% of the American population. In discovering that, and in just kind of this deep dive into ghosting and why people ghost and how you get through it, I came up with a list that I want to share with you guys. So here it is. My sister ghosted me, and this is what I learned. As with anything in my life, I always try to start with gratitude. So that is my number one thing on my list, is to start with gratitude. And I know what you're thinking. Jen, your sister fucking took off. What is there to be thankful for? But when we look at anything from a lens of gratitude, it puts so much into perspective. Yes, my sister took off. Yes, my sister chose to not have me in her life anymore. But you know what? I got 2 years with her. I got 2 years of actually having a sister in my life. I got to go and visit my sister and see her life in Georgia. And she got to come here and she got to see my life. And we got to laugh and cry together and have some really great conversations. We got to experience having sisters. I'm also very, very grateful for the healing that has come out of all of this. That healing has really been a catalyst that I never expected. I am so thankful that the universe brought this to me and made me go through this really hard time because I know that I'm coming out of it a stronger, healthier, happier person. The next thing on my list is ghosting is about them, not you. This one was really, really hard for me to accept at first because when it all first happened, I really internalized it. I got stuck in this space of why wasn't I good enough for her? Why wasn't the opportunity to be a part of my family enough to keep her here? I think that deep down, I always feared that she was going to leave. But in that broken space that I was in after my TIA, I didn't see it. As I stated before, there are a lot of layers at play here. One of those layers is that my sister and I are really the last members of our biological family. Both of our parents have passed and our brother has passed. It's just her and I now. So when she was able to come live with me, I was like, yes, yes. I finally have this connection with my biological family. 'Cause I have my husband, I have my kids. They are amazing. But it is that biological connection that I feel like I am always missing. And for that to blow up in this way was just so incredibly mind-boggling for me. I really went inward with this narrative that I was not good enough for her. It took a deep dive into the nature of ghosting for me to realize that this isn't about me. She has some really unhealed parts of her that caused her to do this, and that's on her. That is not on me. And that kind of brings us to lesson number three, which is that there's always a reason for ghosting, even if we don't understand it. A lot of times it's going to be things like conflict avoidance or resentment in the relationship. Or it might just be that the person doing the ghosting is still in a really emotionally immature state. But the thing to remember is that their disappearance says a whole lot about their emotional limitations, not about your worth. Your worth is not tied to their decision. My sister ghosting me doesn't mean that I wasn't enough. It means that she couldn't handle something in her own life. Now, does that mean it didn't hurt? Oh my God, no. Absolutely not. This fucking hurt. This hurt me more than I think anything has ever hurt me before. It fucking tore me apart. And it felt like losing someone all over again, which is actually lesson four on my list, which is in the aftermath of ghosting, you may experience the five stages of grief. It's because you are grieving someone. This person may still be alive, but they've made a choice to no longer be in your life. So you did lose them. If you're not familiar with the five stages of grief, they are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. I can tell you when I went through every single one of these stages. Denial for me happened right away. The night that she left, I was completely and utterly in shock. I just kept saying over and over again, I can't believe she did this to us. It really didn't hit me, the gravity of it all, until a day or two later. The anger part for me came on slowly. In the weeks afterwards, I experienced a level of anger that I've never in my life felt before. A level of anger that I didn't even know I was capable of feeling. And I really struggled with that because I'm not usually an angry person. But y'all, I went dark. I hated her. I got so angry at her and so angry at myself for not seeing it coming. I questioned everything that I am as a person and everything that I believe. It got so bad that I had friends coming to my house to check on me because I kept talking about how much I wanted to hurt her. I wanted her to suffer. I wanted her to suffer the way that we were suffering. But I was finally able to overcome that anger by finding a way to use it constructively. I started diving into a lot of my past experiences and really taking steps towards healing them. The outcome of that is now what is becoming my book. And honestly, also becoming what this podcast is, because it is really my outlet to come to and just hash it all out and talk about it and hopefully help others that are going through similar things. Let's talk about bargaining now. Bargaining, honestly, is a weird one, but I would say that it came about for me. And the day after she left, when at that point we had not yet told our child that this had happened, because honestly, we didn't know how to yet. We didn't know, I mean, how do you break this news to a kid that the person who, they've waited their whole life to come back into their lives came back and then left again? It was really hard. I could not even come up with the right words to say, so we hadn't told them yet. And honestly, I'm glad we waited because I was able to, at that point, call my sister and say to her, do you want the opportunity to undo your biggest mistake before we go in and break this child's heart? And unfortunately, she made it very clear to us in that conversation that she knew what she was doing. She wasn't going to change her mind, and that we should just go ahead and tell the child. The depression definitely came later. It really manifested in me isolating myself and being really, really in my own head for quite some time. I remember that before it happened, I had went and ordered a book from my favorite little local bookstore, and it was a month later when I walked in and was like, hey, so didn't realize that I'd let so much time pass. Wanted to check and see if the book came in. And they had set up like a little coffee station. And I said, oh, goodness, that's cute. When did you guys do that? And they were like, oh, that's been there probably a month or so. And that was when I realized that I had definitely been in a depressed state and that I had not really left my house more than just to go to work in a month. The acceptance part finally came one night after I did a ritual bath. If you guys don't know what that is, I highly suggest that you check out the book Ritual Baths by Rebecca Hancamp. They are this phenomenal practice that I've been doing for about 5 years now, and they really just help you get to the root of your shit sometimes. But anyway, that night I was sitting in my ritual bath and I've got my candles there and my meditation music going, and I've got my crystals and my herbs, they're in the tub with me. And I really, in that particular bath, I would say started taking the steps to begin accepting that this happened and that it is part of my story. The next morning is actually when I began the work that led to my book. Now, I do want to be very, very clear here because acceptance does not mean approval. Acceptance is about freeing yourself from what happened. It is about freeing you from that desperate place of needing an apology or needing an explanation. It is about owning your part in the demise of the relationship and taking responsibility for your own actions in the aftermath. It is about getting to a place where the other person just doesn't get to hold that power over you anymore. They made the choice to do a terrible thing. You get to make the choice to move on from it, and if need be, move on from them. You get to make the choice to take back your power and to heal. That brings me to lesson number five, making healing your priority. I can't change the fact that my sister chose to do this. What I can do is focus on my own and on my family's healing. What that looks like for me was a lot of therapy, a lot of ritual baths, a lot of Reiki sessions, working through some old emotional wounds, and at times, yes, being a motherfucking puddle on my bathroom floor. But that's just me. That's how I work through my shit. What works for me may not be the thing that's going to work for you. The point is to find the things that will help you on your own healing path and just fucking do them. It may be ugly, but it's worth it. Part of that healing should be to decide what you are and what you are not willing to accept in the relationship moving forward. Because the sad, sick truth of it is, people who ghost other people usually end up regretting it. When they first take off, they're on this high. They're so excited for what they did, they're happy with their decision, but eventually, they come down from that and they feel guilty and they feel embarrassed. For me, that looked like the day about a month or so later when my phone rang and it was my sister. She was calling, hoping that we could figure this out and move past it. Well, by then I had made some decisions of my own. I had decided that for me, it was a healthier choice to not have her be a part of my life anymore. I will no longer allow myself to chase her. I've been doing it my whole life. I won't do it anymore. It is not what is best for me or for my own mental health. And I didn't come to that decision lightly. It was actually one of the most gut-wrenching moments of my life to have to say to my sister, one of my very last living family members, that it is not safe for my mental health to have a relationship with you anymore. But those boundaries had to be set. So if you're going through something similar, take some time to consider what boundaries you need to set in the relationship. Decide what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do, and stick with it. You don't owe the other person anything, but you do owe it to yourself to be firm in what you will and what you will not tolerate. Because I took this time to kind of work out my boundaries ahead of time, when she did eventually call, I was really prepared for that conversation. What I wasn't prepared for was the next lesson on our list. And that is that the act of being ghosted can also trigger past abandonment wounds. This, like I said, is something that I was just not prepared for. And the weeks that followed, so many memories of past experiences came flooding back. I struggled to make sense of it all, and it really fed into this narrative that I was telling myself that, I wasn't good enough. Why does everyone leave me? Why is life so unfair? Why am I meant to suffer? Am I the problem? Like I said, I really looked. Went inward with this and had this running narrative in my head that I was this giant pile of shit and everyone leaves me. What I actually ended up learning through a combination of, doing my own research and many, many conversations with my therapist was that our brains like to form connections. It connects a loss with any previous loss that you've experienced. This, in turn, kind of reinforces that narrative that everyone leaves me. You can overcome this by recognizing that this is just a response to the trauma. It is not a reflection on you, it is not a reflection on your worth. One way that you can do this is by evaluating the relationships that you do have in your life. I may not have a sister anymore, but I do have sisterhood in my life. I have amazing friends who have truly become my family over the years. I have four incredible sister-in-laws who I absolutely love to spend time with. I have so many strong, courageous women in my life. And you know what? Those women's tables are the ones I want to sit at. These are the women that I hope to grow old with. They're the women that I want to chase around the nursing home in our little, rascal scooters, shouting profanities at each other and eating Jell-O and shitting our diapers. You know what? It saddens me that my sister doesn't want to be a part of that. But that was her choice. Me, I'm gonna choose happiness. Okay, that's it for today's episode. I hope that you found value in this. And if you resonated with any of this at all, I ask that you please just share it with others so that we can build a community and a sisterhood for those who are in the middle of their own personal shit show in life. Also, if you're looking for a little bit more, I do have our blog, Welcome to the Shit Show, live on my website right now. I will be posting each episode of the podcast in kind of a blog format over there on Tuesday evenings of each week, as well as also posting some other musings and things as we go along. You can find that at www.shitshowsisterhood.squarespace.com. Feel free to check that out. I will drop it in the description box for you guys. Also, if you would like to follow kind of my authorship journey, you can do so on TikTok. My handle over there is JenniferLevins39. Okay, you guys, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day and a wonderful rest of your week. Always, always, always remember you are enough, you are worthy, and you are so very loved. I love you guys. Until next time, Jen.